This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruch Mabam, welcome everyone. So we mentioned tonight is Tu B'Av, and Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillos to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. What is the significance of these 515 tefillos? Is it a random number? Is there importance? Is there meaning to the number 515? So there's an incredible Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, why would he even daven to enter Eretz Yisrael? The Ribbono Shel'Olam swore, the Ribbono Shel'Olam says, L'chein lo yisaviyu es ha'am hazeh, you're not going to bring in this people. And the word L'chein is a language of a shvua. The Ribbono Shel'Olam swore that he's not going to let Moshe into Eretz Yisrael. However, Rashi explains that once Moshe started to conquer the land of Sichon and Og, so Moshe started to get the feeling that it's as if the Ribbono Shel'Olam relented on his shvua. Now, the Gemara tells us that so long as the Jews were dying in the Midbar, we know since the Chet of the Meraglim, every year on Tisha B'Av, 15,000 Jews passed away every Tisha B'Av. However, in the 40th year, the Jews stopped dying. Now, as long as the Jews were dying in the Midbar, the Ribbono Shel'Olam did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu panim al panim. Moshe Rabbeinu lost his intimate connection with the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu never had the gumption to ask and to daven and to plead, Ribbono Shel'Olam, please, please let me go into Eretz Yisrael. However, on Tu B'Av in year 40, the Jews stopped dying. The sentence had been abdicated. Ribbono Shel'Olam stopped bringing punishment to Klal Yisrael. So the Pnei Yeshua writes that on Tu B'Av in year 40, Moshe Rabbeinu began to pray, began to daven to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. And if you make a calculation, says the Pnei Yeshua, if Moshe began davening on Tu B'Av in year 40, and we know his last day was Zayin Adar in year 40, and there are 200 days from Tu B'Av until Zayin Adar, how's that? You have Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, that's 6 months, that's 180 days. But each month is Malei Chaser, Malei Chaser, Malei Chaser. So you subtract 3 days, it's 177 days. Plus, it's very noisy in Sydney, yeah? Plus 7 days in Adar. Plus 16 days in Av. That's 200 days. Three tefillos a day is 600 tefillos. But how many Shabbosos do you have? You have something, 28 Shabbosos. So that gets you 515 tefillos. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't randomly daven 515 tefillos. There are 515 shachris, mincha, maribs from Tu B'Av until Zayin Adar. Meaning, Tu B'Av began the petition of Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. So from time immemorial, tonight begins a special zman in our calendar. A zman when, while beforehand things may have been locked up, they now open up, they now become available, they now become accessible. And as we know, starting this Shabbos, we have a series of haftaros, which are called the Shiva Dinachemta, the 7 weeks of consolation. And actually, these seven haftaros take us till the end of the year. Meaning, from now until Tavshin Pei, can you imagine Tavshin Pei, we will not be laning one more regular haftara. There are no more haftaras left in the year other than the Shiva Dinachemta. In fact, this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, that truthfully there are 12 haftaras that end the year. These haftaras are called Shloisha de Paranusa, 3 weeks of punishment, Shiva Dinachemta, 7 weeks of consolation, and Tarti de Tiyufta, 2 of Tshuva. So the 3 weeks of punishment, the acronym is Deshach. Deshach stands for Divrei Yirmiyahu, which is Parshas Pinchas. Shin stands for Shimu Dvar Hashem. And Ches is Chazoin Yishayahu. That's Shabbos Chazoin. So those are 3 weeks of punishment. After 3 weeks of punishment, you have 7 weeks of consolation. The acronym is, this is a real catchy one, Noah Arkash. You'll never forget that one. Noah Arkash stands for, Nun is Nachamu, Vav is Vatomer Tzion Hazavani Hashem, Ayin is Aniya Soira Loinu Chama. Aleph is Anoichi Anoichi, Humenachem Chem. Reish is Rani Akara. Kuf is Kumi Oiri. And Shin is Sois Asis. These seven haftaros take us all the way to Rosh Hashanah. So it's an incredible thing. Here it is, we're in Elul. We're blowing shofar every morning. We're doing tshuva. We're hearing Musar Shmuzin. Come Shabbos, we're still getting consolation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, it seems almost incongruent. We're, you know, we're beyond the Nechama. We don't need the Nechama. It's not the Nechama season anymore. Maybe 1 week of Nechama after Tisha B'Av. Maybe 2 weeks of Nechama after Tisha B'Av. Maybe until Elul. Why are we still getting Nechama in the month of Elul? We're done with the Nechama. No. Until Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is still consoling us. And then once Rosh Hashanah comes, we have only 2 weeks of Tshuva. The 2 weeks of Tshuva are Tzom Gedalia, which is Dirsh Hashem B'Himatzai, and then the final one is on Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuva Yisrael. So we have a total of 12 Haftaras. And as we're going to learn, that these 12 Haftaras, even though they're not connected to the Parsha, are halachically the most important Haftaras of the entire year. They will be considered more important than the Haftarah of any other Parsha. And as we're going to learn, if one were to ask, you know, where does it say what Haftarah I should read for Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, Parshas Lech Lecha? Does it say anywhere? Is it brought in Shas that on a certain Shabbos I should lay in a certain Haftarah? The answer is no. It says nowhere in the Gemara and Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yushalmi or in any Medrash, it does not say what Haftarah to read on any specific week. Where do we get the Haftaras from? It was sort of given over to the Chachmei Hadar to choose an appropriate Haftarah to read, a Haftarah which is connected to the Parsha. We have certain basic guidelines. The guidelines are that we have to pick a Haftarah which is at least 21 psukim. It has to be connected to the Parsha, but really you could lay in any part of the Nevi'im. In fact, I was once in Italy, and it was Parshas Balak. And I looked on the wall, and it says the Haftarah of this week was some random Haftarah from Micha. And I'm thinking, no, that's not the Haftarah. No. The answer is a different Minhagim. In some communities, they read one Navi. In other communities, they read another Navi. So the Haftarah of any specific week is not legislated anywhere in the Gemara. However, here's an interesting thing. There are a few Haftarahs that the Shas tells us about. Now, if Shas tells us something, we'll rarely disagree or we'll rarely find a source that will follow against Talmud Bavli. But the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, if Rosh Chodesh Av falls out on Shabbos, the Haftarah that we're going to read is Chodsheichem Umayadeichem Sana Nafshi. Okay, so the Gemara says, if Rosh Chodesh Av falls out on Shabbos, you read Chodsheichem Umayadeichem Sana Nafshi. Comes Toisvis, if you look at number 7, Tosfos says, no, we don't follow Talmud Bavli. We will not read Chod Sheichem Umayadeichem Sana Nafshi when Rosh Chodesh Av comes out on Shabbos. Instead, you know what Haftarah we're going to read? We're going to read Shimu Dvar Hashem. The first of the 3 weeks of punishment is Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. The second of the 3 weeks of punishment is Shimu Dvar Hashem, and the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av will be Chazon Yishayo Ben Amitz. Really? How could we say that? But in Shas it says we have to read Chod Sheichem Umayadeichem Sana Nafshi. Says Tosfos, this is one of the rare instances in Halacha that we're going to follow a Makar, we're going to follow a source against Shas Bavli. There's a Psikta, says Tosfos, there's a Medrash. And the Medrash says that during the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, we're going to read the Shach, Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Chazon Yishayahu ben Amitz. So despite the fact that the Gemara says not to do that, we don't follow the Gemara, we follow the Medrash. You'll be hard-pressed to find another example where we're going to paskin like a Medrash against Talmud Bavli. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, this is the one area in Halacha that we don't necessarily follow what it says in Talmud Bavli. We will sometimes follow Midrashim or Masechta Soifrim. And then Tosfos quotes the entirety of the Psikta. Based on the Psikta, there is a 12-week Haftarah program. 3 weeks of punishment, 7 weeks of Nechama, and 2 weeks of Tshuva. So, it comes out that while the other Haftaras of the year are not legislated and are not really discussed in the Gemara, 12 Haftaras of the year are mentioned, not in the Gemara, but in a Medrash, in a Psikta. So of what relevance is this? What is the ramification? So I almost went into the shul next door, Tzemach Tzedek. Yeah? So because of that, I decided to put the Tzemach Tzedek on the Maror Mekoymos quickly, in the final moments before the shir. There is a famous tshuva in Shas HaTshuva, Tzemach Tzedek, not to be confused with the more well-known Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek was a Talmud of the Bach. He's called Tzemach Tzedek HaRishayn. Rav Menachem Mendel Krachmel. And the reason why he named his sefer Tzemach Tzedek is because the gematria of Menachem Mendel is Tzemach Tzedek. But he says that based on this Tosfos and Psikta, we can explain a very interesting nafka mina lahalacha. And that is, if let's say a shul, for whatever reason, on Parshas Bereishis, did not read the Haftarah, they couldn't find it, nobody knew how to read it, no, they didn't have a minyan, whatever reason, they didn't read the Haftarah. Comes Parshas Noach, what Haftarah do they read? Parshas Noach. Do they need to make up Bereishis? No, they missed it, they blew it, but what are you going to do? Things happen, they don't make up Bereishis. There is no halacha, there's no tashlumim for making up a Haftarah that was missed. However, it says it's a Tzemach Tzedek, that's a regular Haftarah. A Haftarah which is not mandated by the Gemara. A Haftarah which has no Makar and Shas or Poiskim. However, it says it's a Tzemach Tzedek. If someone were to miss the 3 weeks of punishment or the Shiva Dinechemta, there are instances where that Haftarah would have to be made up. So for example, if for the first Shabbos of the 3 weeks, for Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, they didn't have a Baal Koyre. You didn't have a minyan. Nobody knew how to read it. And you missed the first Haftarah, which is what Perek of the Navi Yirmiyah? Perek Aleph. Comes the second week of the Shlosha de Paranusa, which is the second Perek of Yirmiyah. The Baal Koyre is going to get up, and he's going to read both Haftarahs. You need to make up the first Haftarah. Why do you have to make up the first Haftarah? Because this is a critical Haftarah. This is a fundamental Haftarah. This is a Haftarah that has a source in the Psikta. And because the next week is the very next parak, and you don't really have to skip around by making up, so therefore it paskins the Tzemach Tzedek lahalacha, one is required to make up that missing Haftarah. Likewise, he says, something very interesting. If let's say you miss Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, and if you look on your sheet of number 2, Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem is chapter 49 through 51 in Yeshaya. Then in week 4, when you read Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachemchem, which is chapter 51 in Yeshaya, you're going to have to read 2 Haftarahs, Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, and Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachemchem. And if you miss week 6, Kumi Oiri, then week 7, you're going to make up week 6. The reason is, these are considered the most important Haftarahs of the year. You can't miss them. These are legislated by the Psikta. And despite the fact that other Haftarahs of the year are not mentioned in the Gemara, these Mekoyrei Kadam, they have a very early source. Now there's an interesting question in Halacha. And that is, what do you do if Rosh Chodesh Elul comes out on Shabbos? What? What was that? This year, Rosh Chodesh Elul comes out on Shabbos. There you go. Rosh Chodesh Elul has a knack for coming out on Shabbos. It very often comes out on Shabbos. So, let's say this year, this gentleman says, Rosh Chodesh Elul comes out on Shabbos. What do we do? Do we read Hashamayim Kisi, which is the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Now, Hashamayim Kisi is mentioned in the Gemara. Or do you read the Haftarah of the Shiva Dinechemta, which is Ani Asoyara? So a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim. The Mordechai in Masechta Megillah, if you look at number 4, the Mordechai writes, V'imikla Rosh Chodesh Elul b'Shabbos, for Rosh Chodesh Elul comes out on Shabbos, Ein Maftirin Hashemayim Kisi. You do not lay Hashemayim Kisi. But Hashemayim Kisi is sourced in the Gemara. No! Ein medalgin zayin denechemta. We cannot skip the Shiva denechemta. That's how important Shiva denechemta is. However, the Mordechai brings down that in Spira, the minhag would be to skip the zayin denechemta and to read Hashemayim Kisi. But how can we do that? The zayin denechemta is so important. So the Taz explains very interestingly that if you read Hashemayim Kisi, you actually kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Because in Hashemayim Kisi is mentioned in the Gemara, and there are psukim of Nechamas Yushalayim in Hashemayim Kisi, namely Simchi es Yushalayim v'giluba kol ayaveha sisi ita masayis kol hamisablam aleha. So that pasuk discusses the consolation for Yushalayim, from which the Gemara in Tainus learns out kol hamisabal Yushalayim zoyche v'roya b'yushuasa. But friends, here's a million-dollar question. If you examine the Shiva Dinachemta, which all come from the Navi Yeshaya, and you examine the order, so number one, we asked, why are we still consoling, why are we still being consoled all the way up to Rosh Hashanah? It would seem like we're going beyond the necessity. But let's examine the order for a moment. Take a look at number two. We have the order. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, this week's Haftorah comes from Yeshaya, Perek Mem. So far, so good. Number two, Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, Parshas Ekev, Perek Mem Tes, through Perek Nun Aleph. The third one, Aniyah Sayara Leinuchama, the end of chapter 54. So you go to the fourth Haftorah, Anoichi, Anoichi, Umenachemchem. Then it goes back to chapter 51, Perek Nun Aleph. It's out of order. Then you go to the fifth Haftorah, Rani Akar Leyalada. It goes to the beginning of chapter 54. The sixth is 60, and the seventh is Samach Aleph to Samach Gimel. So the order is completely discombobulated. It's completely out of order. But there are really two questions. Question number one is, the third week and the fifth week are out of order. Ania Sayara and Rani Akara are out of order. Because first we lay in the end of chapter 54, and then we lay in the fifth week, the beginning of chapter 54. So week 3 and week 5 need to be flipped. Because the way it's ordered now, we're reading the end of Perek Nun Dalet, then we're reading the beginning of Perek Nun Dalet. So that's the first problem. The second problem is, sandwiched in between, is Anoichi, Anoichi Menachemchem, which is Perek Nun Aleph, and that should precede all of them. So these are the questions of the Levush. The Levush wants to know that the third week and the fifth week need to be flipped, because we're reading the end of Perek Nun Aleph before the beginning of Perek Nun Aleph, of Nun Dalet before the end of Nun Dalet. And then Perek Nun Aleph is sandwiched in between them. So the correct order should be Nachamu, Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachemchem. It should be Rani Akar Lo Yolada, Ani Asayra Lo Nuchama, Kumi Oiri, and Sois Asas. So what's going on over here? Presumably, we would want to read the Navi Yeshaya in the way Yeshaya gave us the consolation. But we change, we flip around week 3 and week 5, and week 4 should be before even week 3. So the Levush quotes the Avudraham, and the Avudraham gives us an incredible explanation and background for the entire concept of the Shiva Dinachemta. The Avudraham teaches us that after all of the tragedy and all of the difficulty and all of the hard times that Klal Yisrael experienced, so the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Klal Yisrael and he comes to the prophets and Hashem tells the Nevi'im, do me a favor. You know, you prophesied about the impending disaster. You prophesied about the bad times. Do me a favor. Go to Klal Yisrael, go to the Jewish people and console them. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. The Ribbono Shel Olam goes to the Nevi'im and he orders the Nevi'im to console us. So the Nevi'im come to Klal Yisrael, the story goes, and they say, look, the Ribbono Shel Olam told us that we need to console you. So Klal Yisrael says, why are you consoling us? Has God forsaken us? Why doesn't God Himself console us? We'd much prefer to hear the consolation directly from the Almighty. So the Nevi'im go back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and they say, you know what? The Jews are not being consoled. They are like storm-tossed. They are so afflicted. They are so pained that you refuse to console them. They do not want to be consoled. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, in that case, I will personally go and console them. I will tell them to sing, Baron Yidden. I will tell them to arise because their light has come. Whereupon the Jewish people say, you know what? We will now rejoice in the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the account that the Avudraham mentions. Says the Levush, based on this little account, based on this little story, we now understand the formulation of the Shiva de Nechemta. First, the Shiva Nechemta begins, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, where the Ribbono Shel Olam goes to the Nevi'im and Hashem tells the Nevi'im, go console Klal Yisrael. Assage their feelings. Make them feel comfortable again. Uplift their spirits. So the Nevi'im come to Klal Yisrael. And what do Klal Yisrael respond? Vatoimer Tzion, Azavani Hashem. Tzion says, God has forsaken me. Tzion says, God is not interested in me anymore. He's giving the job over to the Nevi'im. Whereupon the Nevi'im go back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have the third Haftorah, which even though it's the end of Perek Nun Dalet, but to bring out this idea, to illustrate this little conversation, the third Haftorah of the Shiva de Nechemta is, Aniya Soyara Leinuchama, where the Nevi'im come to Ribbono Shel Olam, and they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, the Yidden are a storm-tossed nation, they don't want to be consoled. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, in that case, if the Yidden don't want to be consoled, Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem, I personally will console the Jewish people. And what does Ribbono Shel Olam say? First he says, Rani Akara Lo Yalada, sing, barren one who has not given birth. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Kumi Oiri, arise, get up, Kiva Oirech, because your light has come. And finally, when Klal Yisrael hears the personal consolation from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, Klal Yisrael says, Sois Asis Bashem, I will now rejoice because the Ribbono Shel Olam himself has consoled me. So yes, the Haftaras are out of order. If we would be reading it in chronological order, we would first read Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachemchem, we would read Rani Akara, and then Ani Asayar Aleinu Chama. But because we're trying to play out this conversation between the Nevi'im and Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we read it specifically in this order. Now many years ago, I actually heard a very similar interpretation of the Haftaras with a little bit of a twist. And I heard this from, in the name of Meir Shapiro, and it's printed in the Mayona Shel Torah. It's basically the same thing that the Levush writes, where the Ribbono Shel Olam goes to the nations of the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam goes to the Goyim. The Ribbono Shel Olam goes to the Umay Sa'ilam, and he says, you know, you destroyed the temple, you brought tragedy to Klal Yisrael, you console the Jewish people. And when Klal Yisrael hears that the Umay Sa'ilam are consoling us, they say, what? We don't want to hear the consolation of the Umay Sa'ilam, we don't want to hear their Nechama. We say, Vatoimer Tzion, Azavani Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, have you forsaken us? We're Aniya Soyara Aloinu Chama. And because of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and responds, Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem. So this is actually a beautiful interpretation, explanation in the order of the Shiva de Nechemta. So it's interesting. So this Shabbos we're going to read, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. So Chazal tell us that the Jews sinned doubly. We sinned twice. Chet Chata Yerushalayim. We were punished doubly. Ki laku kiflayim b'chol chataseha. We sinned doubly, we were punished doubly, and we need double consolation. Nachamu nachamu ami. So the question is, what does it mean we sinned doubly? And what does it mean we need double consolation? So an amazing observation is, in the Haftarah of Parshas Chazoin, Shabbos Chazoin, Chazoin Yishayahu ben Amoz, it's Asher Chazah al Yehuda av Yerushalayim. What does the Navi Yishayah say? Ki pi Hashem diber. Ki pi Hashem diber. Hashem, Yudke Vavke, which is usually the name of Rachamim, diber. Diber is usually diber kasha, a harsh speech. Interesting, in this week's Haftarah, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yoimar, Eloikechem. We have Eloikechem, which is Midas Hadin, but we have Amira, Yoimar. So interesting, in Parshas Chazoin, it's Pi Hashem, Shem Havaya, Diber, Lashem Kasha. In this week, it's Yoimar, Amira, Raka, Eloikechem, which is Midas Hadin. So the Sefer Arvei Nachal, Rav David Ivshitz, as well as the Bnei Yisaschar, explain that Chazal tell us, Rishayim have this knack, Rishayim have this ability, they could take Midas HaRachamim, and they could transform it into Midas HaDin. where even when the Ribbono Shel Olam would like to be merachim on us, where we're so rotten and bad, where the Midas HaRachamim could say, you know what? You deserve to be punished. I consent to the Midas HaDin. On the other hand, Sadiqim have the ability to take Midas HaDin and have the Midas HaDin agree to the Midas HaRachamim that, you know what? They deserve to have compassion. When the Jewish people sin doubly, what that means is, not only did we sin so bad where even the Midah of Rachamim, even the Shem Havaya, agreed that we deserve Einesh. So in Shabbos Chazoinitz, Ki Pi Hashem Diber, even the Shem Havaya, even the Shem of Rachamim, conceded and agreed and confirmed that we should have punishment. But in Shabbos Nachamu, we were able to gain so much Nechama, our tshuva was able to access such great Rachamei Shemayim, that it's Yoimar Elokechem, that even the Midas Hadin came around and had compassion, Amira Rak on Klal Yisrael. This is the double chait of Shabbos Chazoin, and this is the double consolation of Shabbos Nachamu. Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, Vashem Shechechani. It's interesting, the two Hashems are spelled differently. Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem. Azavani Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Azavani Yudkei Vavkei. Vadoishem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Shechechani. Why the first time is it Shem Havaya, and the second time is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud? Rav Chaim Knievsky explains in his commentary to Tanakh in the time of the Kra. Rav Chaim Knievsky says like this. He says, we know the Ribbono Shel Olam has two names. The Shem Havaya, not only do we not have rachamim from it sometimes, we can't even say it. We don't even pronounce it. So when it comes to the Shem Havaya, Vatoymer Tzion Azovani Hashem, God, the Yud Kei Vavkei completely forsook us in the Golos. Because we don't even say the name. Not only were we not zoicha to gain rachamim from it, it's as if it forsook us completely. We don't even mention it. We don't even say the word. But vadoishem, aleph dal nun yud, with that word we do say, but shechechani, it has forgotten us, because we were not zoicha to get rachamim from it either. But let's make a quick calculation. Let's make a quick cheshbon. We have 7 weeks of consolation. How many weeks of punishment do we have? We have 3 weeks of punishment. That means we have a lot more consolation than we have punishment. You ever count up how many psukim of nechama are there in the 7 weeks of consolation? So we know in Nachamu, you have 26 psukim. In Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, you have 27 psukim. In Ani Asayara Lo Nuchama, you have 12 psukim. In Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachem Chem, you have 24 psukim. In Rani Akara, 10 psukim. Kumi Oiri, 22 psukim. Sois Asis, you have 23 psukim. You say, great, what are we going to do with that? The Sefer HaToyda brings down, there are a total of 144 psukim of nechama in the Tanakh. Do you know how many psukim of toichecha, of oinesh, there are in the Chumash? Between Kisavai, Bechukaisai, Hazinu, Nitzavim, there are 143 psukim of toichecha in the Chumash. Says the Sefer Toida, in this world, the Ribbono Shel Olam always gives us more nechama than he gives us punishment. We need nechama, we need consolation. There are 143 psukim of punishment in the Chumash. But the Ribbono Shel Olam consoles us for every single pasuk of punishment. And he gives us a little bit extra. A little bit extra nechama than there is toichecha. And that's a very important principle in life in general. You know, if you look in the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, it says, Re'eh anoichi noisim l'mnechem ayem bracha, bracha uklala. Es ha-baracha. What's the next pasuk? V'ha-klala. So the Baal Turim wants to know what's going on. Why by the bracha is it es habracha, and by the klala it's viha klala? We know es bala rabbis. There's always more bracha in this world than there is klala. When it comes to bracha, it's es. There's a lot of it. Ribbono Shel Olam gives it b'shefa. It's with bounty. It's with midas harachamim. It's very generous. It's always es habracha. Klala, there's klala in this world. But it's smaller. It's less. It's measured. The same thing with the nechama. How many weeks of punishment do we have? There are 3 weeks of punishment. How much nechama is there? More than double. 7 weeks of nechama. Rosh Hashanah night. So what, the shir is sponsored by the Rimon Center. What is it called? Rimon. So I'm very into the Rimon. I love the Rimon. One of the reasons is, you know, everybody thinks that the night of Rosh Hashanah we take a Rimon and we say we should have a Yirbu Zechu Yaseinu Karimon. And somehow there's this thought that, or how many seeds does a Rimon have? It's 613. I mean, you know that since we're a little kid. There are 613 seeds in a Rimon. Where it says that, it doesn't say that anywhere. It says nowhere that there are 613 seeds. I actually counted about 5 different ones. I did not come up with 613. Actually, the makar that the Rimon has 613 seeds is the Malbim. So what's amazing to me is the Malbim's yard site is the night of Rosh Hashanah. So in my opinion, the reason we take a Rimon on the night of Rosh Hashanah, it's like a yard site suda for the Malbim. Because it's his idea that there's 613 seeds in the Rimon. But in any event, we daven sheyirbu zechu yaseinu k'rimon. But we have a lot of simanim the night of Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara, it's based on the Gemara in the end of Harios. The Gemara at the end of Harios says, they have a few more minutes? The Gemara says at the end of Harias, if a person wants to know, are they going to survive the year or not? So what do? The Gemara says, go into a dark house and see if you could see the shadow of your shadow. Because everybody knows, you know, your shadow has a shadow. So I stick my hand out, I see the shadow, and I see the shadow of the shadow. So the Gemara says, if you go into a dark house and you see the shadow of your shadow, you're going to live out the year. And the Gemara says, if you want to know if you're going to be successful, you take a chicken, you stuff it. If the chicken gets fat, you'll be successful. And the Gemara gives different simanim. And the Marshal wants to know, how are you allowed to do this? You're not allowed to be menachish, you're not allowed to divine. How are you allowed to make these simanim? You go into a dark room and see if you could see the shadow of your shadow, or feed a chicken and see if it gets fat. So the Marshal says a very important principle, that the Gemara doesn't say that if you see the shadow of the shadow, you're going to live, and if you don't see the shadow of the shadow, you're going to die. The Gemara just says, if you see the shadow of the shadow, you're going to live. This is not a simon. Says the Marsha, the Ribbono Shel Olam's derech is to be mativ to us, is to do good to us, is to bestow upon us life, happiness, success. So if you make a simon, and you say, if the simon works, I'm just confirming that the Ribbono Shel Olam will do what he always does. But if the simon doesn't work, I'm not saying anything that you're allowed to do. Because that's not a simon. That's just confirming that the Ribbono Shel Olam will operate the way that he always operates. And what's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam always operates? Es HaBracha. That the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be mashpia good on us, and he does. And the majority of our lives are only taiva and bracha. There's a Rambam in the Marna Vuchim. The Rambam says, there is no person in the world who in their life, they don't have the vast majority of things in their life overwhelmingly good. The Rambam writes, he never met a person who the vast majority of things in their life are kulay toiv. People have difficulties. But the difficulties are usually the minority. If you were to make a list of the good things in life, and the not such good things in life, the good list would be 99 to 1. The Rambam says he never met anyone who that does not apply to. Because that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam operates. This world is a world of es habracha, a lot of good. This world is a world where there are 143 psukim of teichacha and 144 psukim of nechama, 3 weeks of punishment, 7 weeks of consolation. It's a world of es habracha. And you could make a siman. You could say the night of Rosh Hashanah that if I see the shadow, my shadow, it's going to be a good year, because it's going to be a good year anyway. We're allowed to assume, we're allowed to presume, we could rely on the fact, Derech Hashem Lahitev. But it's very important that these weeks of consolation take us all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. You know, you think about it. Why don't we just have 3 weeks of punishment where the Rebbe Hashem claps us over the head for 3 weeks, and then, okay, Rebbe Hashem, you got us, 2 weeks of tshuva. Shouldn't we just go from punishment to tshuva? And obviously, we don't work that way. If we would have 3 weeks of punishment, then at the end of those 3 weeks, we say, Rebbe Hashem, all right, I had enough. I'm throwing in the towel. This program is not for me. I can't enter the world of tshuva. I'm not prepared to return to you. Because in order to return to Rebbe Hashem, it's not enough to know that we did the wrong thing. We have to feel that we're returning to a God who is Es HaBracha, who is going to shower on us a year of goodness, excessive and a bountiful bracha, 144 psukim of Nechama. This is a key ingredient in the preparation for tshuva. So while we might be blowing the shofar in Elul and preparing for tshuva, one of the key preparations for tshuva is, despite the fact that we're focused on tshuva, we still need more consolation. We still need to feel in an even deeper and more meaningful way the fact that we're sois osis b'Hashem, that we're roni akara layalada, that we don't let anybody else console us. We don't want the nations of the world to console us. We don't want the Nevi'im to console us. We need to feel the loving embrace of Rebbe Hashem up until Erev Rosh Hashanah, and after 7 weeks of consolation, and 144 psukim of Nechama, then and only then are we ready to begin the tshuva process. So these 12 weeks of the year are a very important cycle. From the Haftaras of the year, they're the most important Haftaras of the year. We can't even miss a single one. And we hope that by reading these Shiva Denechemta, we're able to feel the loving embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this will elevate us and feel the Ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be able to prepare us for a successful season of tshuva ahead. So a friend of mine reminded me that last year we said over that Chamisha Asar Ba'av is Gematria Aksiva V'Chasima Toiva. So we already begin the process of the Yom Noram today. So let me be the first to wish everybody Aksiva V'Chasima Toiva and a year of happiness, health, success. Thank you so much for inviting me. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.